भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 Text 9. Jahi asuram bhavam imam tvam atmana. Samam mano dasvana santi vidigvisa. Arte jitad. आत्मना उत्पते स्थितात् तदिहि अनंतस्य महत् समर्हनम् जहि असुरं भावं इमं त्वं आत्मना समं मनो दत्स्वा न शान्ति विदिविसा अर्ते जिताद् आत्मन उत्पते स्थिताद् तदि हि अनंतस्य महत् समाहरणम् Please chant. Mataji. Mataji's, please. Jahi, just give up. Asuram, demoniac. Bhavam, tendency. Imam, this. Tvam, you, my dear father. Atmana, of yourself. Samam, equal. Mana, the mind. Datsva, make. Na, not. Santi, are. Vidvisa, enemies. Prite, accept. Ajita, uncontrolled. Atmana, the mind. Utpate, on the mistaken path of undesirable tendencies. Stita, being situated. Tat he, that mentality. He, indeed. Anantasya, of the unlimited Lord. Mahat, the best. Samarhanam, method of worship. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj continued, my dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly. Purport. Unless one is able to fix the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, the mind is impossible to control. As Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita 6:34, Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramati bhalavadridham. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayur iva suduskaram. For the mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. O Krishna, and to subdue it seems to me is more difficult than controlling the wind. The only bona fide process for controlling the mind is to fix the mind by the service of the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictations of the mind. But actually there are no enemies and friends. Pandita samadarshinaha sama sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service. Om agyana timurandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitamena tasmai sri guruve namaha. Namo vishnupadaya krishna pristaya bhutleshimate devamrita swaminiti namine. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutle Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pachyatya Destarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking as it is. The conditioned soul, the tendency is that we want to get credit for something that we didn't even do. And we want to blame others for our faults, our mistakes. But a liberated soul, he actually gives credit, even though he's done wonderful, amazing things. He gives credit to all other devotees. And he is willing to take the blame for some reversals that he is not even part of. This is the difference between the conditioned soul and the liberated soul. There is speaking of Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu and Narsingadev. There is actually this place in South India called Melkote. It's a very famous place. One of my friends, he was actually preaching there. And he invited me to come, and I asked him what's so special about this place, and he explained how Prahlad Maharaj, he felt that he was actually responsible for Hiranyakashipu's death. So he was so sad, and he was actually performing all kinds of austerities and worshipping a Shalagram Shila in this place. And one day, Prahlad went to take bath and come back, and the Shalagram is manifested into this beautiful Narsingadev deity. And Narsingadev explained to Prahlad how, you know, that he is not actually responsible for Hiranyakashipu's death. Rather, he was responsible for Hiranyakashipu being freed from his demoniac qualities and attaining liberation. We can understand the mentality of a liberated soul. He's completely not responsible, but he's taking the position. And same thing, we know Prabhupada explains how Maharaj Yudhisthira, after the battle of Kurukshetra, he was not happy. It's not like, wow, you know, now I'm the king of the planet, let me enjoy at the cost of like millions of people's lives. No, he was very sad. Even though it was a Dharma Kshetra, it was a war based on religious principles, and he directly fought under the guidance of Krishna, still he felt like, I'm so selfish, so many, you know, people's lives have been taken just so that I can enjoy the kingdom. So this is the mentality of a liberated soul. He's always taking the humble position. Like today it's the disappearance day of Lochan Das Thakur. And this famous song that he sang, Paramakaruna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaurachandra. In the song, at the end, Lochan Das Thakur says, Apana Karama Bunjaye Samana Kahoe Lochan Das. Lochan Das says, because of my karma, I'm not at all attracted to this movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the result? That Yamaraj is actually going to punish me for not taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya's movement. Very, very sweet mood. It's not like all these great souls, they're doing some kind of drama, you know, just to get some attention. They genuinely feel like this. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amanina Manadena Kirtanya Sadahari. Without expecting any respect, offering all respects to others. And this is a sign of somebody who's received the blessings of Mother Bhakti. All these good qualities. There's this beautiful, famous sloka in the Bhagavatam that explains, Vasudeve Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, Janayati Asu Vairagyam, Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukum. Just by practicing Bhakti, all these things follow like a shadow. Detachment, knowledge, all the good qualities. And this is what is pleasing to the Lord, the good qualities. The false ego of the conditioned soul is not at all attractive, it's not at all pleasing for the Lord. Just like you have magnets, you have put them on the same side, they push each other away. You turn it around, then they stick together. Similarly, you go in front of the Lord as if you're the Lord, then, you know, you're rejected. But if you take the humble position, then it's very, very pleasing to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, explains, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. All the things that we run after, Mahaprabhu just rejected in one sloka. I don't want followers, I don't want beautiful women or men. I don't want to be an eloquent speaker. I don't want wealth. He rejected all these things. What what's pleasing to the Lord, as we can see in so many pastimes in Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the good qualities that we possess. We can see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how it's not like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and embraced Pratap Rudra because he had a lot of cash, you know. He was like super wealthy, and then Prakasananda Saraswati was like really cool because he had tens and thousands of followers. No, it was the opposite. Mahaprabhu didn't even want to see the faces of these personalities. Even though, materially speaking, they were really qualified and super popular. It's just like these qualities, they actually, you know, very displeasing to the Lord, these material qualities. Just like when we went to Vrindavan, you know, we all know the glories of Yamuna, but then when we found out all this sewage from Delhi and all these neighboring villages, they're pouring into Yamuna, then you hesitate to go and take a dip. Similarly, our desires mixed with all kinds of contaminations, it's not at all very attractive to the Lord. On the other hand, even if we're not so-called great charismatic personality, if we just do like humble service, it's very attractive to the Lord. It's like Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. It's explained. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard it hundreds of times. Dhruva Maharaj's teachings. He heard it hundreds of times. Queen Kunti's prayers. He couldn't stop listening. Because it's full of Vaishnava etiquette and full of good qualities. I was listening recently to the... My Guru Maharaj conducted a retreat in New Zealand. And in this retreat lectures, he's explaining this nice combination in Krishna consciousness. He's explaining how my guru is always praying to Krishna to have the enthusiasm of a new bhakta and the maturity and wisdom of a senior devotee. He said this combination is a success formula. We have to be enthusiastic and fresh and green, just like new devotees. At the same time, we have to have the maturity of the older devotees. It's very important. It's a priceless wealth, he was explaining. This experience that the senior devotees possess, if we don't approach them, if we don't ask questions, if we don't learn from them, on the other hand, we just become familiar and we just criticize them, it's a great loss. And he was explaining the importance of taking guidance from senior devotees. And he was giving this funny example of this village in Africa. He was giving the example of how the wisdom is so valuable. He said in this village in Africa, if a man and a woman like fall in love, some kind of, you know, infatuation, and then the seniors of the village find out, so they bring this couple in the middle of the village, and all the villagers, they actually gather together, and they don't say a word, they just laugh. They just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and then go away. Just to, you know, make the point that, you know, you may feeling like all, you know, ecstatic and starry-eyed, but we've been through this before. And unless there is some kind of commitment and responsibility and, you know, God in the center, this is not going to last. So don't think, you know, you're in a situation where nobody has been before. So he's just giving this example of, you know, the wisdom of the elders actually bring them to their senses. Similarly, bhakti, it's not just the head, it's not just intellect, or it's just not the heart. It's a combination of the head and the heart. It's a very beautiful combination. Enthusiasm and guidance of the senior devotees. So we can see in this chapter, or in this pastime, this is a nice example that illustrates Krishna showing us, no matter who we are, as long as we are in the material world, This is a place, dukkhalayam ashashvatam. This is a place full of reversals, temporary and miserable. And Krishna and his devotees are actually using the worst situation to impart such a valuable wisdom all time to come. We can hear just in this one shloka and the shlokas to come, Prahlad Maharaj is talking so much about the mind. It's you know, very valuable, such a simple instruction, but it's so important. It's a yoga psychology Prahlad Maharaj is talking about. And Prahlad is saying to his father, "My dad, you may think that, you know, you're so great and you're this or that, or best of the asuras, best of the demons, but you can't even control your own mind." Prahlad Maharaj is saying, what's the use? What's the big deal? Same thing Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. One who is not Krishna conscious, he neither has transcendental intelligence nor steady mind. There's no question of peace without steady mind. What to speak of happiness? There's no question of happiness without controlling the mind and senses. Like Prahlad explained in the same, you know, pastimes of the Lord, how if you want to be happy, just stop trying to be happy materially. As long as we are trying to be happy materially, we will never be happy. We'll always be agitated and disturbed and miserable. It's like the story of Alexander the Great. He was passing through India and he came across this yogi. And this yogi was like just so peacefully sitting, sunbathing, doing his meditation. And Alexander said to him, you know, is there anything I can do for you, yogi? You seem to possess all kinds of attractive qualities. Can I give you villages or silk or gold or anything? The yogi just said, move aside because you're blocking the sun. That's all I want from you. And Alexander was like blown away, like, you know, because he was well received wherever he went and people always wanted something from him. On the other hand, yogi didn't want anything from him. So the yogi asked him, so what's up with you? Where are you going? He said, I'm conquering the world. And the yogi asked, then what? Then I'll be happy. The yogi said, if you're not happy now, what makes you think you're going to be happy by conquering the world? If you just want to be happy, just sit down with me. I'll show you right now how to be happy. Just control your mind and senses and meditate on Krishna. What's the use of running here and there thinking you're going to do something far out? If you're not happy now, there are very little chances you'll be happy in the future. Same thing Muchakunda said, very beautiful Krishna book Prabhupada has given, the chapter of deliverance of Muchakunda, who's this great warrior, king, and Krishna gave him personal darshan. And in the darshan, Muchakunda is glorifying Krishna and taking such a humble position. Muchakunda is saying, I may think I'm a great king, but I'm not such a great Maharaj, because after I conquer all this kingdom, I come in the inner chambers of my queen and I just beg for sense gratification. So what kind of Maharaj I am? He says, on the other hand, When a devotee comes to my kingdom, I actually put them on the throne and I wash their feet and sprinkle it on my head, because they are the real Maharaj, because they have conquered the mind and senses. So this is what's of real value in the eyes of Krishna and devotees, is how much we are Krishna conscious, how much we are Krishna conscious and how much we are controlling our mind and senses. And this is what attracts Krishna and his devotee. Like we see in this chapter, Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to his father. So according to Lord Chaitanya, Prahlad is the father of Hiranyakashipu. There's this pastime of Lord Chaitanya meeting with Mukunda. Mukunda brought his son, Raghunandan, who was a little kid. So Lord Chaitanya asked him this mysterious question. Mukunda, are you the father of Raghunandan, or is Raghunandan your father? It's obvious, one is like older, one is a little kid, but Mahaprabhu is asking. And Mukunda answered saying, actually my Lord, Raghunandan is my father. It was a nice exchange, but you know, the purport is, whoever instructs us, whoever gives us Krishna consciousness, whoever is more advanced than us in Krishna consciousness, they are like our father. They are considered like our father. So we can see in this pastime how Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his father, even though he had, you know, so much wealth and power. So hearing these pastimes on a regular basis, it actually frees us from the bodily concept, from the bodily and mental platform. By reading these pastimes and understanding these pastimes, we can understand how we have so much work to do. We don't want to remain the way we are. It's a very risky position. It's just like recently I was listening to Solness Jaipatak Maharaj giving a class in Mayapur. And one devotee was asking this question, oh, I'm a householder. I'm attached to my wife and my children and my land and my family and my bank balance. And so what's my position? I was thinking Maharaj is going to say something like, don't worry, just chant Hare Krishna. Everything will be okay. Maharaj said, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishna says that if you are attached to materialistic way of life, even if you are a devotee, at the time of death you go to the heavenly planets and you enjoy there for a long time and then you have to come back. It's a very risky position. It was a very beautiful answer actually. Maharaj was not compromising, or he was actually speaking the truth as it is. That if we are attached, we don't change, constantly work on changing our attitude, our progress in Krishna consciousness. And we have to come back to this miserable place. Shine punyam martya lokam vishanti, Krishna says. It's a very, very miserable place, dangerous place. We don't need anyone to convince us. However old we are suffering so much. It's like one new devotee, some cultivating, he actually sent me this text, freaked me out actually. He said, you know, Prabhu, I've never seen anyone suffer like my brother is suffering in the past 10 days. And he said, he's going through this operation and all of a sudden his brother is screaming because the brother is seeing some animals are coming out of the walls of the hospital. Can you imagine, like, you know, what kind of scary situation that is? It's really scary. So it just, as soon as he talked about the animals coming out of the wall, I was just thinking, you know what? We have to accept, you know, Narsingadev coming out of the pillar and surrender. Otherwise, we will see these animals coming out of the walls. It's no escape. This is the reality. We have to take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the ending is very scary, no matter who it is. It's like we don't want Krishna's flute playing, then we are handed over to the, material energy, Durga, where there is no excuse, no matter who we are. We are being punished. Like Lochandas Thakur is saying, Apana Karama Bunjaya Saman. Yamaraj will come at the end of life. It's a very scary truth. So we have to, work on ourselves. Time is limited. And we shouldn't remain the way we are. We should progress. We should end all this and go back to Krishna. And we have to practice. You see, unless we are practicing these teachings, how can we just distribute? That's called a scam, isn't it? On eBay or something, you go and order a product and the product doesn't even exist and you're being charged. You will be put in jail. Similarly, we talk big subjects, big philosophy, but if we don't practice, we don't enjoy it ourselves, we don't relish it, we don't realize it. That's cheating. So we have to practice these teachings, we have to hear, we have to assimilate every day. Otherwise, every day goes by, we just do some inattentive chanting, talk about this devotee and that devotee, and then just overeat, and then, you know, tired and fall asleep. And the day is gone. Next day comes, next week comes, next year comes. It's not like all of a sudden you're going, something going to hit us in the head and become enlightened. We have to work for it. This is what better way there is to change your heart than to read Prabhupada books and distribute these books. There's no greater way. We have to distribute these teachings. It's like this devotee in England. He was actually introduced to Krishna consciousness, this bhakta. He liked everything about Krishna consciousness, but he didn't like this, point of, no killing, no meat eating like this. It was hard for him because he was so much into fishing. He was so much into his fishing. So he was so frustrated, he was trying to give up, but then he was so attached. One day he decided, you know what, these teachings actually made me miserable. I was actually, in a way, I was happy. Now that I know the truth, I'm not able to follow, so I'm more miserable. So he actually threw his Bhagavad Gita in the trash, in the rubbish bin, and then moved like 2,000 miles away so no devotees will bother him. And he was actually fishing, and as he was fishing, he thought he caught a big fish, but then when he pulled out, it was a big black garbage bag. And then he opened it, it was another bag, he opened it, it was another bag, and then his Bhagavad Gita was inside. True story. So he said, you know what? It's just like, you can't escape Krishna. Where can you go to escape Krishna? So he just surrendered. He just saw this. This is like too obvious of a sign that, for me to pass up, I have to take to Krishna consciousness. So these books are amazing. We have to distribute without discriminating. Then we never know how it's going to affect people's lives. Like my Guru Maharaj told me one time, if you can become Krishna conscious, anybody can. Because I was asking this question, how these people will ever understand the books, they seem like this and that. My Guru said, oh, if you can understand the books, they can also understand the books. So we have to distribute, we have to allow Krishna to do the magic. It's just like I saw this posting on the internet, is one student is asking God, oh God, why are you allowing all this violence in the school campuses? And God is replying, I'm sorry, my child, I'm not allowed in schools. So this is the position. Wherever we go, they're trying to keep Krishna out of the picture. But the result is, it's so much chaos, so much craziness. So we have to spread Krishna consciousness. We have to give Krishna to others. Then, as we are seeing, as we are hearing from Prahlad Maharaj, we will develop all good qualities. Because at the end of the day, whatever we are doing, sometimes we forget the goal is to please Krishna. And we're hearing from these chapters what's actually pleasing to Krishna. And we may not be there, at least we have to work on it. And, you know, like Prabhupada says, we do this, we can go back to Godhead in this lifetime. Just like so many examples are there nowadays of devotees following the simple teachings of Prabhupada and attaining perfection at the end of life. So any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. I forget your name. Ramesh, what is Ramapati Madhav Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I have a couple of questions. First, like at work, during our lunchtime, I was talking to our colleagues. We have a discussion about different religions and God. So they believe that God is all powerful, but he doesn't have a form. He doesn't have a shape. But they ask one question, like, so you are saying that God is all powerful and he is the father of all living entities. But why are you restricting to human form? Why are you restricting him to the human form? Is it fair? So what is the answer for that?
Yeah, that's why Prabhupada's pranam mantra says, you know, nirvisesha sunyavadi pachyate deshta. He's come to liberate all these rascals, impersonalists. So the answer is, Prabhupada explains, you know, we are just insignificant, you know, infinitesimal part and parcel of Krishna, and we have a form. We're so attached to our form, the way we look, you know. We have personality, we have characteristics, we have likes, dislikes. So how can we say that the source of everything doesn't have something? You're saying the source of everything is lacking something, namely the form. So God has form, human-like form, but, you know, it's Satchidananda Vigraha. It's not just, it's not material, it's purely spiritual, full of knowledge and full of bliss. So this is some of the simple things we can explain. Best is to give them a book of self-realization or something, you know, and Prabhupada will convince them. Does that make sense?
The second question, like, so you mentioned that we have to be detached from the material world in order to be advanced in the spiritually. But at the same time, like, as a human being, we have our responsibilities, like we have children, wife, and we have responsibilities. We have to do the responsibilities correctly. So, while saying that, like, suppose if I want to send my son to a Harvard or some other university, which is more expensive, so I had to go after money. So how do we balance these things, like responsibilities versus spiritual advancement?
Yeah, responsibility is nice. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he's speaking very heavily, but he was a grihastha himself. But we have to be Krishna conscious, so we will know what decision to make, at what time. It's like Mukunda Goswami asked Prabhupada in the first meeting. Mukunda Goswami wanted to see if Prabhupada is actually a genuine guru. So he asked this sentimental question. He says, Swamiji, if a young man is beating up an old man, what would you do? And Prabhupada said, you wouldn't know what to do. I can answer you this. But you will come across every situation, and because you're not Krishna conscious, you will never know what to do. You will always make the wrong choice. So for a householder, deity worship, giving in charity, having home programs, chanting, these things will purify your heart, and you have a spiritual master and, you know, temple president and senior devotees, like we're talking about guidance. So by taking guidance and being Krishna conscious, you will know what's actually anartha and what's actually responsibility. Many times we know, oh, this is maya, but we have no strength to overcome it. We just surrender anyways. So that you can change. It's nothing wrong with responsibility. You just have to see if it's actual responsibility or you just want to be in maya and, you know, just quote Krishna consciousness saying it's my responsibility. So what's Prabhu?
I'm
Samas sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param.
You know, that this is such a difficult thing to actually acquire. What are we doing here? Maybe you could give us a little bit of an understanding. Do you understand what I'm trying to ask?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there's that qualification there, generally speaking, one could be in Krishna consciousness for 20, 30, 40 years and maybe still not get the real qualification for devotional service. So could you give us a little something about that?
Yeah, it's here Prabhupada is saying preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service is these, you know, qualities. But Prabhupada also explained how yasyaste bhakti bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunais tatra samasati sura, that by engaging, when you have unflinching faith in the Guru and Krishna and engaging in devotional service, you develop these qualities. So we may not have it, but by doing devotional service, we will develop it, and then we'll go even further, deeper into Krishna consciousness. So just by chanting Hare Krishna and avoiding offenses, all these good qualities that we're lacking, like Krishna says, I preserve what you have and I carry what you lack. All the things that we lack, Krishna and Guru, they give to us.
It probably would be also good for us to understand what those points are and how to acquire them. In other words, there are qualifications. Like, you know, Papa wouldn't make that point unless there are, you know, it would be up to us to understand what are those qualifications.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have those qualifications, then we can see that devotional service comes much easier. Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe it comes much easier. It's much more, we'll develop a much more of a liking for it. And whatever execution we have in devotional service, maybe it'll have more meaning in terms of offering it to the Supreme Lord. So I thought that was very interesting because, you know, we don't think like that. We think mostly just come in here and just do whatever, and I'll get the mercy of Krishna and I'll just go on and become a pure devotee. But it's not necessarily that easy. Is what I'm trying to get out of this purport, mm-hmm. this particular statement that Prabhupada made. So it seems that we need to find out what those qualifications are and study them, and try to figure out how to become like that. And then devotional service becomes much more pleasing and understandable.
That's very nice. Yes. Archita Prabhu.
Hi, Bo. Thank you for a very nice class. The Prabhupada is trying to make is that say spiritual journey if you don't know what spirit is. That's the whole point. So Prabhupada made sure from the very beginning that at least we had a theoretical understanding of what is spirit and what is matter. So you may not realize it immediately, but you understood that you're eternal, you're not temporary like matter is temporary, the spirit is eternal. These points you have to really understand and appreciate. And then you can get deeper and deeper into bhakti if you don't even have an understanding of that. Like most people, when they say they're spiritual or they like somebody who's spiritual, it's all superficial. They like the way they look. You know, they like the way the person looks. They like the fact that the person never gets angry. They're very calm. But they don't understand that there's spiritual anger that could be used in Krishna service. In other words, they don't have even a base understanding of what is spiritual life. And yet they consider themselves spiritual. So Prabhupada made sure we didn't fall into that trap. Krishna is God. You're not. You're eternal, you're not matter, like that. He made sure we had some basic understanding. And starting from that platform, even in a theoretical way, Like Prabhupada himself said, if you at least accept theoretically that Krishna is God, then you can start to enter into Bhagavad Gita. If you don't have that even preliminary theoretical understanding, then it's very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita. So this is what Prabhupada is talking about. You have to have a preliminary, basic acceptance of what is spiritual life, and then you can make progress and actually realize it. But if you're not even willing to accept theoretically what's going on here, then you're not going to go anywhere. You're just going to spin your wheels. Just like many people now are going to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Some of them are going there because they're genuine fans of both teams, and others are going there to pickpocket. You know, they have no taste at all for what's going on there. Just see an opportunity to make money somehow or other. So that's like spiritual life. If you don't have a genuine appreciation, or at least a preliminary appreciation, then you're not going to go very far. You're just wasting spinning your wheels.
You have time for Anthony's question?
Thank you. Well, I was wondering, this purport Prabhupada was saying that we create enemies and friends according to the dictations of the mind, but actually there are no enemies and friends. I was just wondering if you could explain how actually there are no friends.
Yeah, like Archita Prabhu was saying, it's a question of coming to the spiritual platform. Then we can go beyond this bodily and mental platform and, you know, experience these things on the spiritual platform. Because on the material platform, it's impossible to have anything in common because we are all different. So we have to come to the spiritual platform and purify our mind through devotional service. Then we can see everybody as our God brothers and God sisters. And, you know, like Radhanath Maharaj said one time, we should treat each devotee as if your spiritual advancement is completely dependent on how you treat this person. So we can develop all this love and affection amongst each other. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.